Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Mullet Cast, the podcast where business and pleasure collide. My name is Evan Balmer. Follow me on Instagram at Evan Balmer. Today we are joined by Amy Quinn. Amy is the deputy mayor of Asbury Park and an attorney with the Community Health Law Project. Follow her on Instagram at Amy Quinn. As Amy says, Asbury Park rules. Your city, not so much.
Isn't that true?
What's going on, Amy? Thanks for coming in.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm totally digging this room, I have to tell you.
There's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on, but there seems to be like a strange pattern to it.
Right. It's like controlled chaos.
Exactly.
So speaking of a lot going on, you must have a lot going on. I mean, you're an attorney and also in the town politics of Asbury Park. So you went to John Jay undergrad, right? And
I went to a few different colleges.
Oh, you did?
I did. Sweet. I'm one of those. So I think what was the first one I started at? I started at Pace University, which was downtown in Manhattan.
Right.
And that was a shit show. So I lasted a semester there.
Right.
And then I followed a girl I was dating to Ramapo College.
Okay.
Because that's, what other reason is there to pick a college other than you're dating a girl who's
right.
going there?
Totally.
And I lasted there for about 2 years, and then I transferred to John Jay. Although I went to a bunch of different colleges, but I was able to keep a relatively decent GPA.
Were you?
Yeah.
That's cool. So it's funny, like when I look at your bio, it looks like you had this complete plan. It's like, all right, you were obviously very interested in public service and everything from an early age.
That couldn't have been less true.
Knew exactly what you were doing.
No, I was talking to somebody else about this recently. So as a kid, I wanted to be a nurse. Mm-hmm. That didn't pan out. And then I think like many lesbians who grew up in the 1990s, we all saw Silence of the Lambs and couldn't figure out if we were in love with Jodie Foster or wanted to be Jodie Foster.
Okay.
So I thought I knew I was in love with her, but I didn't know if I also wanted to be her.
Right.
So I went to school for forensics.
Wow.
Yeah, to literally mimic Jodie Foster in Silence of the Lambs. That's how important that movie was to my life.
That's awesome.
And honestly, if you ask lesbians who grew up in the 90s, there isn't one of us who did not think we were in love with Jodie Foster.
Really?
Yeah, totally.
That's cool.
Yeah, she was a game changer in our...
I didn't know like her influence went that far to like make people pursue forensics and all that. That's
well, I don't
cool.
think you even... I don't think it was an... I don't... And, I'm not sure of another movie where you saw a woman doing forensics that you could be like, oh, that looks really interesting.
Right.
I'd like to do it too.
Right.
So that was certainly the first movie I ever saw where we came across a woman doing something really kick-ass.
Right.
and interesting in the world of forensics and forensic psychology and science.
Right. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So I think I started as a psychology major and then went eventually to forensics science.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was like forensic science is a bit of a pain in the ass. So then I eventually switched to forensic psychology.
Right.
And that's what I graduated with.
And was that kind of at Ramapo or as you shifted over to John Jay?
I stayed in, I don't think Ramapo or Pace or any of them had a forensic. They all had psychology.
Right.
And then I think I fine tuned it with forensic science, which Ramapo had a great program. And
right.
I also, John Jay had a really good program in getting into the FBI, which
right.
I applied to get into the FBI. Similar to Jodie
Foster.
Nice. Yeah, no, that
cool.
woman had a big impact.
Now, did you leave Ramapo because the relationship fell apart, or was it more of a career plan at that
so
point?
So it was a career plan. The relationship fell apart later, which is why I moved to Asbury Park.
Okay.
So that relationship stayed intact. You know, relationships in your 20s are very you know, they're wild. So it eventually fell apart. I was living in Jersey City and I had, you know, you feel like you got to get out of Dodge.
Right.
So I went to Asbury Park. This is, I don't know, 2000-ish,
uh-huh.
2001. And I literally stepped a toe in Asbury Park and thought I'm home.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So I bought a little place not too far from the beach in a building called the Santander, yep. which I, to this day, think is still one of the most breathtaking buildings in Asbury Park. It's this 1920s Spanish-style building. And back then, and now, it's not, I wouldn't even say it's that different now, but what's so great about the Santander is it's kind of a microcosm of the world. So you had these penthouses where very rich people lived, and then you have the studios where, you know, people like me who were students or in the hospitality business. And
right.
You had its own little society inside the Santander.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it was a great, I still have my unit in that building.
Do you really?
I do.
That's cool. Yeah. So you rent it out right now?
I rent it to a friend of mine.
Nice. I think that's a building that was originally in Henry Vaccaro's father, I think was.
So I learned that from your podcast.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So anyone listening to this podcast should check out Henry Vaccaro, who is the historical knowledge that guy has of Asbury Park is unbelievable.
Right.
Although apparently declared bankruptcy and came back from that multiple times.
Yeah. He's a dude with an amazing story.
Totally a dude with an amazing story, which I also think is most of Asbury Park.
Right.
You find me people who aren't characters in Asbury Park that were there through the 90s or the early 2000s. You can't find one. They're all characters.
Yeah. And his family's really intertwined with Asbury. I don't know if you heard the story about his father, who was a doctor, who was married at the Berkeley.
Homes.
Yeah. Went to people's homes, was being honored by the Pope at the Berkeley and then died the next day, tragically.
Yeah. And I love how Henry describes his desire to work construction, to be a construction manager. That was his, that was the name of his game. That was his Jodie Foster.
Totally.
Yeah.
When he left, and I'm not sure how old he is now, but he's obviously got a zest for life still. When he was leaving, we asked him, what are you going out to do now? He's like, I'm hopping on my tractor. I'm going to bulldoze some stuff,
And he does. Right. You'll see him on Main Street to this day. He was bulldozing something for Pat Fasano a year ago. I'm walking by and I'm like, is that Henry in there?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's cool. So the Santander, oddly enough, I was talking to someone recently who probably moved into the building around the same time as you, and it maybe was a little bit earlier. But she was saying back then it was a little bit of a dodgy place to go. She said
it was a completely dodgy place to live.
Drug deals going on.
And we had prostitutes. Wow. So we used to have this woman, we had several.
Right.
And we had a lot of people struggling with mental illness and not successfully, right? Like either not getting treatment or self-medicating.
Mm-hmm.
So we had one woman who used to sleep in the fountain in the front of it. She would grab her bag and grab a pillow and just hop and sleep in the fountain.
Right.
We had another woman who kept falling asleep in the elevator. And then we had several prostitutes or people in the sex industry who used to put a phone book, because it was back when you had phone books, in the back door. So you'd come in at 5 or 6 and be like, why is this phone book in the back door? But that was so her clients could get in. And if you moved that phone book, hell hath no fury.
Right.
So you kept that. You put the phone book right back in the spot when you came in the door.
That's awesome.
Put your head down and went up to your place.
Right. And then the problem is not only are her clients coming in, but anyone can come
of
in.
Of course.
Also,
right? Well, I don't even know back then that we had locks. Well, we must have had locks because she had the phone book, because there have been periods of times where the locks get picked and not fixed for lengthy periods of time.
That's wild. So, I mean, that paints a little bit of a different picture for people of Asbury today compared to back then. It was a little bit areas you think of as a nicer area, that whole North Beach area is really a beautiful area, right?
Yeah, no, back then it was a total shit show.
Right.
Yeah, complete and utter shit show then. And we used to, back in the early 2000s, there used to be, I was describing women prostitutes, but we used to have all these male hustlers on the North End in Fisherman's Lot. So you would see lights blinking in Fisherman's Lot at night, which meant come over to the car. So you'd see two blinks for come over to the car for if you're a man, three blinks come over to the car if you're a woman. I now forget what it was, but there was a ritual. So you in the Santander, if you're high enough, you can see. Not that I was super high. I was on the third floor. So if you were on the third floor, you could kind of see lights blinking in Fisherman's Lot.
And you mean high elevation wise, right?
Right. Yes.
Right.
I would never get high.
That's right. There wasn't that going on in the Santander.
Of course not.
That's wild. So what about that whole experience made you feel like you were home when you landed there?
When I got there, I went into this place called Kingsley Deli.
Mm-hmm.
and a woman named Rita ran it. She's still around. She still comes to the council meetings. Very, very good friend of Henry Vaquero's. Okay. And I kind of went in there and she was like, what are you doing here? And I was like, oh, I'm thinking about buying a place here. And she was like, ah. And she just, I don't even remember what she said. She screamed, but I thought she was a character.
Right.
And then... Yeah. I don't know. I can't describe it to you. I fell in love with the Santander, and I fell in love with the architecture that is it still much of it is gone now, but the architecture in Asbury. And I'm not even a planner of any sort. I couldn't be less than a planner. Mm-hmm. But the architecture in Asbury is breathtaking, and I was getting out of Dodge from where I was.
Right.
We have a joke. We have a few jokes in Asbury about one. Did you move to Asbury because of breakup or bankruptcy?
Right.
Right. You could still get a place in Asbury pretty cheap. You know,
right.
I picked up a place 2 blocks from the beach for a lot less than what you would get for it now.
Right.
And it was this place, and Jen Hampton, who's also been a guest of yours, we've talked about it as well. It was kind of the island of misfit toys, mm-hmm. right? So if you were going through a bankruptcy, a breakup, or just trying to figure out what you were going to do with your life, right. Asbury was the place to go because there wasn't really judgment.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, I'm thinking of a story. Like, so I recently went through a divorce, and I landed in Ocean Grove. I mean, I lived nearby. I was already working in Asbury and everything, but I'm having this conversation with this woman, like, about looking for a place to rent or whatever. And like, I'm really evasive, but not evasive. Like, she's asking me all these like normal questions you'd ask a prospective tenant, like,
right.
how long are you looking for? What's your budget? But all this crap was so new to me. I'm like, I haven't even thought about these things. I just need a place to crash. You know what I mean?
Right.
So finally she gets the gist. I'm like, I tell her, I'm like, I'm not trying to like evade your questions. Like, here's what's going on with me. And she's like, oh, you should have just said that. I have like a building full of guys like you. So all these people
in Ocean Grove.
Yeah.
Oh, that's kind of
funny. So it's pretty funny. Like that, you know. Like, all these people do sort of land there after, you know, definitely the breakups and that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's we funny. Lick our wounds and, right. and figure it out.
Yeah,
so.
Totally. Get back to the sea, right?
Yeah.
That's cool. So after you settle in Asbury, eventually you get involved in the city council. Is that your first step or
no,
something else?
So that was a long time coming. So okay. I went to Asbury and was working at a place called Child Protective Services in mm-hmm. Jersey City, what is otherwise known as DAFIS, although they change their name every
right.
6 months to a year for no real reason, because every time you go to someone's door and you're like, oh, now we're DCP&P, they're like, oh,
right.
we're DAFIS. We're DAFIS. It's still DAFIS. We just right. changed our name. So I was working there for a number of years in Jersey City. It left there pretty beaten and battered. That's a horrific job.
Mm-hmm. Were you working as an attorney at the time for them?
No, I was investigating child abuse and going to law school at night.
Okay.
So I eventually left that on a lot of antidepressants.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
And then went to law school full time,
right.
commuted from Asbury Park to New York
right.
around the time of September 11th.
Oh, wow.
So that was its own shit show in the downtown
right.
for a wide range of reasons. But I made my way through law school and started working at DIFIS in Asbury Park.
Wow.
I started as a paralegal. I hadn't passed the bar yet.
Mm-hmm.
So was at DIFIS in Asbury Park. And so I tell this story, and I've told this story in like an elementary school, and the teachers look at me kind of horrified. But I mean, for the podcast, I can tell the story, but
right.
I always have to clean the story up when I'm telling it to other people. But it's a true story, and but for it, I wouldn't be involved in politics. So I run around Deal Lake because I live in the Santander,
mm-hmm.
and I'm a runner. And one day, a truck is coming by, and it is rounding up geese that are on, you know, the green patches around Deal Lake.
Yep.
And I'm puzzled by that.
Right.
You know, I'm vegetarian, and I, at the time, I might have been vegan. And they're putting all these geese in a truck. And so the next day, maybe 48 hours after that, there is an article in the paper that they gassed all their geese. And that's how they dealt with their Interlaken, had gassed all their geese. Oh, wow. And that's how they dealt with their geese problem, wow. which I found horrifying on multiple levels, right?
Totally.
So I threatened to sue Interlaken. I called Fish and Wildlife. I wrote letters to the editor saying, like, you're fucking gross, that right. that's what you do, that is your go-to.
Right.
And they did not quite follow the mandate, which is you're supposed to kind of figure out other ways before you get to the mass killing of
right.
geese, right?
Yeah, you get one of those dog silhouettes.
Right. At least fake it a little bit and put the goddamn dog silhouette up there. My God. So they don't even have the wherewithal to fake the dog silhouette.
Right.
So anyway, I threatened to sue everybody and their mother. And a guy named Tom Pavinsky, who is the chair of the Environment and Shade Tree Commission to this day, he's still the chair of the Environment and Shade Tree Commission. This is, again, probably 15 years ago.
Right.
Might have even been more than 15 years ago. I'm not sure. I have to go back and look. He reaches out and says, hey, Nutter, why don't you stop threatening to sue everyone and come sit with me because people in Asbury want to kill the geese here.
Right.
So I meet him at Clancy's, and he says, do you want to be on the Environment and Shade Tree Commission? And you and I all research and figure out how to ways to humanely deal with the geese population. And
right.
we did. And to this day, that's how we deal with the geese population in Asbury.
Really?
And he's still a friend of mine.
So what do you do with the geese?
So there's two things we do. One, we chase them with dogs. That's more recent.
Right.
I don't love that one. But what we did about 15 years ago is when geese lay eggs, you put here's your lesson. You put that egg in a bucket of water.
Right.
That egg floats. That means the lungs have developed. You don't do anything and you let it go.
Okay.
If it sinks, mm-hmm. then you take it out, you put oil, and it never turns into a goose.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so we probably oiled 500 or 600 eggs over the last like 15
that's
years.
Wild.
And that's and even that is conflicting for me, but it's certainly better than just putting them all together and gassing them up.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
The one thing I'm puzzled about geese in Asbury, and I work like on the corner of Springwood by the train station, basically.
And in that shopping center there?
Yeah, I'm above High Voltage Cafe.
Oh, wow, cool.
Yeah. So the geese, and I've never seen this anywhere in the world, but Asbury geese like to cross the street a lot. And they're very,
and they're
like,
a big F.U., motherfucker.
They totally are.
Oh, totally. Exactly. Well, you know why? Because they have me and Tom Pavinsky being like, nobody can touch the geese.
That's right.
Because we also get these wacky people who are like, well, let's kill the geese and feed them to the homeless. Okay. Yeah. Let's gas geese
right.
and then give that gas geese meat to homeless people.
Right.
That's a brilliant idea. Let that be my next campaign.
That's right. That's right.
So anyway, I had no desire to get involved in politics. But for that specific incident and then Tom reaching out to me,
right.
I think I can safely say I would never have gotten involved.
That's pretty wild.
Yeah.
All right. So after you get involved with that commission, you gradually take on more
responsibilities.
Yeah. And more
then you kind of see what works and what doesn't, right? You go to a couple of council meetings on behalf of the Shade Tree Commission to make
right.
announcements or whatever. And you're kind of like, well, I think I could do a better job.
Right.
And why are we, you know, doing this and not this? And why don't we have more public art, or why
right.
don't we have a dog beach, or why don't we have whatever it is that you think that you can get done. So I ran for office in 2009, lost, which I always try to talk to people about, because since then I have gone on to win my elections after that, but losing the first one I always think was a game changer while it wasn't at the time that it happened, because I
right.
was really devastated. In the end, it was hands down probably the best thing that happened to me
right.
and such an amazing learning experience. And majority of people, including women, usually lose your first election.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is, specifically with women, is they don't run again. And so my mantra whenever I'm trying to convince young women to get involved in politics is that I usually lead with I lost.
Right.
And then you got to get back in the game.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I ran in 2009, lost not by much. And I ran by myself, didn't have a clue what I was doing. So John Moore, who's the mayor, jokes all the time. He doesn't know how I lost because everybody knows me in Asbury. But I literally, so when you're running for office, you have a list of registered voters because you need to hit those people.
Right.
I didn't know that. None of us knew that.
Right.
So I would just walk out of my house and just knock on, you know, I don't know, 50
right.
doors and introduce myself. And no, I idea if any of them were registered voters.
Right.
You know, just not, didn't know what a mailer was or a lawn sign. But anyway, we had a campaign of people that we called the Asbury Park Lesbian Cabal, mm-hmm. which was a group of women who ran my campaign, which I have since tattooed to me.
Nice.
And we lost that election. And then I spent 4 years figuring out that I need to figure out what who the registered voters are.
Right.
And then I need to hit their building.
Right.
And then came back, and I think I got the highest number of votes.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So one little tweak, and then you're victorious.
Well, that was a big tweak. It's right. a big tweak, yeah. right? People who aren't mm-hmm. registered. Not that you don't want to be, like, for these days, the millennial generation is, like, the hardest generation with voting, because, like, most of them are registered at their parents. So,
right.
And there's such an interesting generation to me, because I'm a Generation X, but I mentor a lot of women who are millennials. And they just, you know, I don't know how to say it, but they just don't vote. They don't vote, no matter how hard we try to get them into voting. I'd say 2016 was a bit of a game changer. Hillary Clinton losing and Donald Trump becoming president was a bit of a game changer for the millennial generation. But what's so interesting about them is they have hands down the ability to turn any election. They are the biggest voting bloc, and they just don't vote.
Right.
But in Asbury, you have a lot of different factions, right? So a lot of people, you have the gay vote, you have the woman vote, you have the black vote, you have the senior vote, which a lot of people don't get the grasp in Asbury Park, that we have like four senior towers with hundreds of people in them.
Right.
Asbury Towers, Phillips, Seaview. And that is a constituency that, one, is lovely, but two, that you really need to spend some time figuring out, you know, what they need.
Right.
More handicapped parking, sidewalks that are better for, you know, their feet, a redone boardwalk. But yeah, Asbury is an interesting place to, I've only ever run for office in Asbury Park, but I've helped on other campaigns. And Asbury has a lot of quirks.
Right.
You know?
And like those voting blocks you mentioned seem to have pretty diverse interests probably, right? Like
very diverse interests. And, yeah, right. Yeah.
So how do you combine all of those?
And we have like a pretty affluent demographic that right. has more recently kind of come in. And so I think, yeah, honestly, I think you're honest. So I'm not a person who has large political aspirations. Mm-hmm. It's going to probably begin and end in Asbury unless something unforeseeable happens.
Right.
So I think you can just be honest. So what I wouldn't do is promise a whole bunch of shit you're not going to deliver on.
Right.
Right. So, you know, obviously we have this pool club going, this pool club that has caused quite a bit of controversy in right. Asbury Park. And, you know, when I explain to people, and you can disagree with me and that's okay, that this has been reviewed 200 times by our attorneys and I'm told it's dead in the water.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just not going to use the resources to fight that. I'm going to use our resources to fight to preserve Bradley Cove, or, you know, we used our resources obviously to get a better boardwalk, which is now going to be a 28-foot boardwalk with a huge rain garden and
right.
all of these other things. But the fighting of the pool club, you know, the city's not going to use our resources fighting ISTAR on that. And while people don't like that answer, they truly don't,
right.
Or some people don't like that answer, a lot of people respect the fact that we're just going to tell you what we think. And if you disagree, that's totally okay.
Right.
But I'm not here to promise you the world and then not deliver.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah. I think if you're honest with people, even if at the time they curse you out, and that happens quite a bit, it has happened an overwhelming amount with the scooters.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, these scooters have been interesting. And as somebody who's a big proponent of them, when Asbury does, we have probably one of the most affordable housing plans.
Uh-huh.
Voluntarily took on affordable housing and did a really progressive plan. And with that progressive plan, we curbed Airbnbs.
Okay.
And I had done enough research to know that people were going to freak out if we were going to greatly restrict Airbnbs,
right.
or what is otherwise known as short-term rentals.
Yep.
So I had like put the second layer of skin on. When people cursed me out, when people, one guy was like, I'm going to run you and your dog over in the morning, like really crazy stuff, right? But I had prepared for that. I was like, okay, I know this is coming down the pike. I have read about it in New Orleans and I'd read about it in San Francisco. And I knew that people got really, really passionate, specifically developers and people making a lot of money on these Airbnbs.
Yep.
So scooters, I did not, right? So I had not a clue. I just thought these are really cool.
Right.
These are going to keep cars out of the downtown and the waterfront. and these are really cool.
Right.
And then we got them.
Uh-huh.
And then people were screaming at me outside of Porta, screaming they were wreaking havoc.
Right.
They were going to be the end of this town. It was just like, I don't know what's going on. And we have this amazing, amazing transportation planner, Mike Manzella.
Uh-huh.
And he and I both, I think, aged 20 years in the 2 weeks that those scooters were out. And all we needed people, I didn't need you to support it.
Mm-hmm.
I just needed you to give me an opportunity to watch it play out,
right.
See what we could do to fix it. You know, we had like 8-year-olds on them,
right.
Which you had to be 18.
Right.
So we were able to like fix the app and put your license in, and we could restrict that. They went 15 miles per hour. People thought that was too fast. We restricted them to 12. Like, I just needed you not to scream at me outside of Porta.
Right.
And just be like, hey, I'm seeing them on sidewalks a lot. Maybe step up enforcement. Right.
Right.
Not you idiot. They're wreaking havoc. You dumb, dumb schmuck.
Right. I'm running you over.
Right.
So did you scope out like a lot of different companies that offer these? Go
no,
test drive them? Or?
Well, I think Manzella did.
Right.
But what Manzella and I did was go to Hoboken.
Mm-hmm.
And they had, so I will say that Hoboken had slightly prepared me. Although by the time we went to Hoboken, we were getting scooters pretty shortly, maybe a week or two after
okay.
that. We went up there and spent probably 4 or 5 hours with the former mayor of Hoboken, which is a woman named Dawn Zimmer, who's amazing,
right.
and their transportation planner, whose name I'm forgetting. So he had given us a lot of like, here's what you got.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Look out for Kids on It was one of them. They had a lot of different and Hoboken was the first municipality in New Jersey to do it, and Asbury's the second.
Okay.
So it's a little like we're, you know, when you're the first
you're
and second people to do it. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, there's quirks that you
yep.
got to work out. So we spent a bunch of hours with them, and they gave us a tremendous amount of helpful stuff. They have like 2 or 3 different scooter companies, but our thought was to start small with one, figure out what works and figure out what doesn't. But a guy in Hoboken created a handle of a Twitter account dedicated solely
right.
to like, and I'm going to get the name wrong, but I hate scooters in Hoboken.
Right.
And then he trolled me for
days
when we brought them to Asbury Park. So I eventually had to turn off my notifications because not that I couldn't deal with it, just like
right.
I was busy. I had other stuff I had to do during the day than look at his trolling.
Right.
So, and he still trolls a little bit, but he's not as bad, but that was that for me was like, okay, so people do feel passionate about scooters.
Mm-hmm.
So I should brace myself for that. But I completely was not prepared for the level of passion people
right.
had for scooters.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a what could go wrong?
Yeah. And it's like, so the one guy who starts screaming at me outside of Porta, like they're wreaking havoc. So when I'm trying to have a conversation, like, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
Are you, they're wreaking havoc on the street physically?
Right.
Because they're they're a lot lighter than cars, so they're not actually causing harm to the streets. Like,
right.
what is the havoc? Can you describe it specifically? And he just got so frustrated, he walked away. But
that's funny.
Yeah, so there have been people who've given me great feedback on them, and then people who just scream.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. So it's, I have the app,
digress.
But I haven't ridden one yet.
Oh, they're amazing.
So, yeah, they look really
amazing.
Fun. I mean, they do look fun. And
they're
I think
super fun. Have you ridden one? Yes. Okay. They're so fun.
Right.
But you can't overthink it.
Right.
Right? You just
got to
do it.
Yeah.
And don't start super fast.
Right.
And watch the potholes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the one thing I would say, somebody said to me, our streets needed to be paved before you got them. And it's like, well, our streets are never all going to be paved. So
right.
then we'd never get them. So
right.
we have them. And we unfortunately still have potholes.
Mm.
So, I mean, you do have to be mindful of that. There's
right.
some streets better than others.
Yeah.
Fifth and Sunset are great. Third is okay. You know, you learn the streets to go up and down.
Right. That's cool.
And we're adding bike lanes galore.
That's
so.
Sweet. Yeah, I mean, it's a good idea. Like, I'm going to hop on one. And someone mentioned to me the other day, we were running late, couldn't do it, but we were like over on Springwood heading up toward like Convention Hall area. They're like, oh, dude, we should hop a scooter
totally.
And cruise there. And it is a good idea to
And it
get
keeps
around.
A car. Like, for
right.
me, I have one almost in front of my house. And so I jump on it and run to whatever, you
right.
know, whatever meeting I have.
Right.
I have a meeting tonight at Danny B's at 6, so I'll jump on it, run to that, and then jump on it and and run home. And that's a car out in the downtown.
Yeah, it's very cool. Mm-hmm. I like that. So I'll check it out. Are they going to be there all winter or how does it work?
Yeah, so they're there. And so high wind days, super rainy days, every night they're picked up. Okay. So they get picked up about between 9 and 9:30 every night. And then this is kind of interesting. And then they're recharged in a warehouse in Ocean. So wow. One of the reasons we had some delays with rolling them out was because Ocean Township kept not allowing the zoning to have whatever whatever this would be called in charging.
So sorry, this isn't zoned as a scooter charging station.
Right, essentially. Right. So finally they get a place that is zoned for a scooter charging center. Right. So they come in and they hire local. So that was a big part of it. And that's something we love about them.
That's cool.
They hire local not between 9 and 9:30. They pick them up and we had to do that for the drunks because if you've ever been to Asbury, you know we have a drunk problem.
Right.
They pick them up and charge them and put them back out about 7 a.m.
Okay.
So the only thing, like if there's a snowstorm, they just won't put them back out. Right. Or if we had one day they didn't go out because it was so windy.
Right.
So they won't put them back out on those days, but it'll go through the winter weather permitting.
Right. That's cool. I mean, I didn't even realize they were gone at night, but I guess that makes sense.
Of course.
And that's a good idea. So that's
have
one
you been
way
outside Johnny Mac's at,
yeah, right.
after 9 o'clock?
That's, right.
That's why they're gone.
Yeah, totally. But I think that's good. And I think it's the same for the users, right? It starts out as this crazy fad and you get a bunch of knuckleheads doing stupid stuff
and
with
we're
them,
seeing
but then it
at,
sort of
right level
becomes,
out. So that's
right.
so oh complete 100%. Right. So what we saw was this major novelty,
right?
This was a novelty. People just were riding them not to get anywhere, just to ride them.
Right.
And I'm absolutely seeing that level out. So
right.
I would say, I think I can safely say in 8 days, I have not gotten a complaint,
that's
which
cool.
is unheard of because I was getting them multiple times a day and being stopped in the street and told how much people hated the scooters.
So you get minute by minute scooter incident
updates. And here's the other thing in politics. You have what's called a vocal minority. Mm. And sometimes it's hard to tell which is the vocal minority and which is the silent majority. And I'll give you by way of example, we had a very vocal group of people against us restricting Airbnb. And I thought it was a minority because so many people quietly who did not want to enter the fray were like, I don't want short-term rentals in Asbury.
Right.
And we gambled right. Over 60% of people voted to restrict short-term rentals. So that was an example of a silent majority with a vocal minority. And I'm not sure that I wouldn't say the statistics were the same with the scooters, but we had a vocal minority of people who hated them, no question, and a silent majority of people who were willing to see how it played out.
Gotcha.
Right. So if it didn't get better, they might jump on, but they were at least willing to give us a month or 6 weeks to see how it played out.
That's cool.
Yeah. And in this game, sometimes you have to, even though the vocal minority is so loud, you still need to kind of step back and think through what's everybody else thinking, other than these, you know, 50 people who are just repeatedly unhappy with what you're doing.
That's cool. And how does the scooter work? Does the town make money on having them there? Like,
so it's a pilot. No, we don't make any money yet because we're doing, because if this is, and quite frankly, if this is a disaster, we'll get rid of it, right? It's no skin off our back.
Yep.
So the first year is a pilot. We make, I believe, like next to nothing or nothing.
Right.
And then next year, we'll come back with a better contract and maybe other people competing for it. But for now, it's just to see if it's something that we can do be successful with on a safety, public safety level.
Very cool.
Yeah.
All right. So I have a paving question for you since you mentioned that. But real quick, you're currently the deputy mayor. So for people that don't know, what's the role of the deputy mayor?
Well, it's not the secretary to the mayor, which people say, which I don't love. So honestly, it's usually the person who gets the second highest number of votes. I have no more pull than the mayor or the other council members. It's all an equal vote.
Right.
And we all kind of have our own silos. You know, John Moore's a big budget guy, you should ask him about paving more than me.
He
spent 30 years in DPW in Asbury Park.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I would be your more art, affordable housing, rec person, Eileen's music, Eileen Chapman. Yvonne's definitely affordable housing, and reviving Springwood Ave. So I'd say we all kind of have our interest in it. So honestly, it's a ceremonial title. It doesn't really mean anything.
Right.
I don't have any more power than anybody else on that council.
Right. So basically, you're a council member with a title.
With a fancier title, essentially.
Right. That's cool.
Yes, but some people are like, so you're the secretary to the mayor. And it's like, no, no, I'm not.
Right.
I'm not.
That's cool.
I'm many things, but I'm not that.
All right. So I'll skip my paving question for your Department of Public Works guy.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah. So how do you balance, because one of the things you ran on back then, I guess when you were first running, was increasing transparency and communication, and you increased the number of council meetings, I think, right?
We did, although I think we have since rolled it back. So here's the other interesting thing. So I ran, because it's Asbury, I ran in 2013, then we changed our form of government because we had some drama, and so I had to run again in 2014, and then I had to run again in 2016 because it's Asbury, right?
Right, so you had a one, a two.
Yeah. Right. So in 2013, when we ran, I'd say we knocked on more doors than anyone else, and there was some real consistency. And the number one hands down issue in Asbury in 2013 was crime.
Right.
No matter where you lived, whether you lived on Deer Lake Drive or Southwest or Cookman. I think we were able to kind of set policy, putting out more foot patrols, increasing the number of officers. And so we were able to kind of deal with those issues. The other issue I would say in 2013 was no development. It was kind of a stall. I think the Vibe had been built, but that was about it.
Right.
Or it might have even been Wesley Grove. I'm not even sure if the Vibe was built then yet. So 2013, we kind of took what we heard on door to door and tried to figure out policies to fix it, which is generally what the council does. In 2014, it was really about workforce development, I would say. We had really high, and we still have high, not as high, but high unemployment numbers, a lot of quality of life issues, taxes. And then in 2016, I'd say we had the lowest crime we'd had in about 18 years. We'd put together some workforce development programs with the pilots that were going, the redevelopment going on. So we had kickstarted redevelopment and done some workforce development. And in 2016, I'd say, and to this day, I would say one of the number one issues in Asbury is affordable housing. Right. And I wish we had gotten ahead of that more in 13 and 14. I mean, we've now passed a really progressive affordable housing plan, and it's working. You actually have to get the blessing from the courts to move forward with your affordable housing plans, and it's working its way, but it's probably going to be 6 months. And we moved, in terms of like losing affordable housing, we moved at a pace that I don't think those of us on the council recognized how fast that was going to go, how quickly people were going to get pushed out with increased rents.
Right. So affordable housing is interesting. And I lived in Jersey City for a while also. And I don't know if you saw it at the time you were there, but there was a huge arts community there for a long time. And Jersey City was in the dumps for a long time also.
I lived there when it was in the dumps.
Yeah,
so I was late 90s.
Right. So what ended up happening is the people that were like building and fueling the turnaround and actually investing in a community that no one wanted to invest in eventually were like pushed out because they could no longer afford there. And that's a lot of complaints you hear about Asbury is like the people that came in early, like you were there early, you stayed. You mentioned Marilyn before, who came in and started businesses, maybe when no one else wanted to. But a lot of artists, a lot of musicians. I mean, when you have musicians that are like living out in, like 30 miles away because they can no longer afford to live where they work. Like, how do you combat that?
It's heartbreaking.
Right.
Let's start there. So there's a number, you know, one of the irritating things for me personally speaking, and this podcast is me speaking, I'm not speaking for the city government or the city council, is kind of this idea that like iStar is the great hope, right? The iStar redevelopment. And what really was happening, at least when I was here, was it was artists, right? Mm-hmm. It was the African-American community who never left.
Right.
It was the musicians. It was the small business owners, Pat Fasano's, the Pat Scavino's, who were buying up some properties and fixing them up and renting them out on the cheap. And then, you know, the small-time businesses, the Marilyn's, the showrooms, Hot Sand. I mean, who else had a place that you could blow glass in the 2000s? I would all say were absolutely pinnacle for the revitalization of Asbury Park.
Right.
You know, the big-time developers who came after, did they...
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights.
Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Help, like did Madison help? Absolutely. Sure. I'd even say more than iStar, because they kind of came in and guns blazing with those pavilions. I'm not sure they've done a tremendous amount since then, but they certainly came in guns blazing. And then you have iStar that kind of bought up all the bankruptcy notes and and are building. So it's a complicated history. I can say we spend a tremendous amount of time thinking about how can we keep the people in who want to stay in, which is why we passed this affordable housing plan with a 20% set aside. You know, Asbury Park, interestingly enough, has a ton of has a lot of affordable housing, so much so that we're not required to do any more, like a lot of other towns. But even with the number of affordable housing that we have, and once we implement this 20% set aside, people are getting pushed out left and right, which is utterly. Jen Hampton's another one who, you know, opened galleries when nobody was opening galleries on Cookman Ave or on Ocean Ave. And so ensuring that they can stay here is extremely important to us, but really hard. This took off. That's why I say I think, like, I regret we didn't realize the affordable housing in 13 and 14 as much as we should have. We were busy with, I mean, we were working on crime and we were working on other policies. But the housing has taken on a, it's just this train that has taken off, and trying to pull it back right now is proving difficult.
So, I mean, we could talk about Asbury Park forever.
We can. Totally. Well, I'm going to give you another example. Like, our schools are losing enrollment, right? Because we're losing so many families that lived in Asbury Park for the years. So, like, the affordable housing has drastic consequences, not just for the artists and musicians, but, like, you know, even to our school system, whose enrollment decreases every time, you know, a building is bought up, and then the people in it are essentially priced out.
So we can
move on, but it's a complicated problem.
It's insane. So I definitely encourage people. You have a podcast called Asbury Pod Podcast.
I just started a podcast.
To dig in more about Asbury Park issues, follow on Instagram at Asbury Pod. And then you could learn about a lot of those things also.
Yeah. So what we're trying to do with that is, and this is a little bit millennial-ish. So no millennial comes to the council meeting. And I'm pretty sure no millennial listens to that podcast either. But I'm always hopeful to grab a couple here and there. So,
but Johnny Cash has been to your council meetings in the past.
Apparently.
Which is sweet.
That is pretty cool. So we were always trying to figure out ways to communicate information. You know, again, I've talked about the different factions in Asbury Park, all require a different way of communication, right? The seniors do not want anything online. They want the public access TV or a mailer. You know, the artists and musicians do not want me coming to your door. That is like the last thing they want me to do at 11 a.m. They would rather me email or Twitter or it's you name it. And so trying to communicate about local government and also get people involved in local government, one of the ways that we thought we would do it is via a podcast. So twice a month, we take a city employee and a character in Asbury, for lack of a better word, and put them on and ask them questions and try to subtly get you up to speed on, like, engineering and then art.
That's cool.
Yeah, we try to do it subtly.
That's right. It's like feeding vegetables to kids,
essentially,
right?
Essentially.
Like, dabble it in a little.
Yeah, although, again, I would guess if I looked at our numbers and, let's say, six people watch this podcast, of the six people who watch this podcast, I'm going to guess one potentially is a millennial. And really, probably not. So this is all for nothing, I'm sure.
No, it's all good. So definitely check that out. Look on Instagram at Asbury Pod. So you are also an attorney for the Community Health Law Project. What I'm really curious about is, how do you balance all these things? Because you obviously have a ton of stuff going on.
I do have a ton of stuff, but I have an extraordinary wife who is so lovely when I have a hobby and is like, yeah, let's do it. So without her, I wouldn't be able to balance much of anything. My mom also lives in Asbury and is a tremendous help as well. So I try to limit my meetings to, so I work obviously a full-time job, and then I try to limit my meetings to maybe 3 to 4 a week. And then weekends, I can usually take Jensen to like the events, whether it's like a ribbon cutting or my son's name is Jensen.
Okay.
I can take him to stuff like that. And then honestly, my wife covers all of the rest.
Right.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So you were married in Asbury.
I was married in Asbury, 1201.
Nice.
Yeah. So the interesting thing with gay people is you domestic partnered because you can get married.
Right.
So you have to remember that date. And then you civil unioned because you can get married.
Right.
So you have to remember that date.
Right.
And then we got married in New York because New Jersey didn't allow marriage.
Okay.
And we had an attorney who's like, if you're going to have a kid, go get married.
Right.
So we had to remember that date, and then New Jersey finally got marriage. So that was the one we did at 1201.
That's
and
awesome.
Then the United States Supreme Court finally did marriage.
Right.
So there's like 10 dates that gay people have to remember.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Right. So you have like 5 celebrations.
We do, but we did try to like, my wife was really smart in the sense that she tried to do most of the ones that we couldn't calculate on or around when we met.
Okay.
So they're all around June 19th, 20, 21, and 22, except for the 12, the when New Jersey passed it, that
right.
was like October 21st. So
okay. That's
the outlier date, but
that's cool.
The other ones we try to keep all in the same ballpark because there's so many.
So was it was past that day and then people were getting married at midnight?
No, it was past 3 days. So there was 3 days that it was passed and then it took effect 3 days later.
Okay.
And we had an amazing city clerk that I have to give credit to who called us up and is like, listen, if you want to get married at 1201, you need to fill out the license now because there's a 3 day wait period for a marriage license.
Right.
Or so, I might be getting these numbers wrong, but I'm going to be in the ballpark.
Right.
And she said, so you got to come fill it out now. So that was literally, we were like, okay, we'll go get married at 1201,
right.
Which was wonderful because one, it didn't cost anything.
Uh-huh.
Two, nobody's feelings could possibly be hurt because I invited everyone to it,
right?
You could come or not come. And it was probably about 25 minutes.
Right. Was it a lot of people?
Yeah, more people than I thought. You know, my wife and I were laying in bed prior because it was chilly, so you didn't want to get down there too early. So
right. It's
like 10:30 and we're both like, don't fall asleep, whatever you do, don't fall asleep because
right. All
these people are waiting for us on the boardwalk.
Right.
So we kept ourselves up to 1201. And interestingly enough, speaking of Tom Pavinsky and the Environment and Shade Tree Commission, he was a former priest, so he married us.
Oh, no way.
Yeah,
that's
so
cool.
It all comes kind of full circle.
And were there any geese at the wedding?
No, there weren't.
Messed up. Where's the thanks, man? Sorry, I keep kicking this camera cord. Remember who fought for you geese, you know?
Right.
That's pretty awesome.
Ingrates.
That's right, totally. So your work as an attorney, you assist disabled and poor with their legal matters.
Yeah, so I'm like a public defender for civil matters. That's
cool.
The easiest way to say it. So when you get charged with a crime, you get a public defender if you can't afford an attorney. So
right. In
my line of work, there's a host of entitlements that you may or may not be qualified for. So, for example, Social Security, food stamps, Medicaid.
Right.
If you're getting evicted, losing your Section 8, trying to get Section 8, trying to get subsidized housing. So
right. All
of those things that you are not legally entitled to an attorney for, but that is an extremely important right.
Right.
We get assigned to those cases to represent.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. I appreciate you coming in.
Thank you.
We got to wrap this up.
You got it.
Definitely love to have you come back in because I got tons of more questions for
you. Yeah, thank you for having me.
Thanks for everything you do for people of the county
sure.
And also for Asbury Park.
I'll curse less too next time.
That's all right. I enjoy that. Like you said, you got to be truthful and that's how you get people to vote for you, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
hopefully.
If you're genuine.
Totally.
I'd like
also,
to
my mayor's a former DPW worker, so if you think I curse
a lot,
wow.
Yeah.
He makes me look like
this
I'm
guy's
tame
got some
in comparison.
Colorful language.
Totally.
I would like to dispel one myth about attorneys that they're not all uptight D-bags. If you wouldn't mind putting
they
your shoe up
not.
On the table.
I'll totally put my shoe up on
because,
the table.
Here's two attorneys who have cool footwear.
Do you know attorneys? Are you an attorney?
I am, yeah.
Oh, good. What kind of attorney are you?
A good one, of course.
As yeah. am I? Do you also make pennies and magic beans for a living?
That's right.
Because that's the kind of attorney I am.
I think I'm going to start specializing in geese law.
You
should. Know, as they start crossing. The
and then like station yourself in Interlaken who kill all their geese illegally, for the record.
That's right.
Yeah. You
so have they cleaned up their act over there? Or have they...
If they, all I will say is it has not been reported to me that they have killed their geese.
Let me get one more pick of that kick. That's pretty sweet. That's cool. So I tell people I specialize in, because I work above High Voltage Cafe, which is also where Second Life Bikes is.
Love Second Life
so
Bikes.
I specialize in representing coffee lovers that need bike repair is
nice.
Like my niche of legal work.
Well, that sounds fabulous.
So I have found my home.
Totally.
You know, a typical day there, you smell bacon and occasionally an inner tube pops and people think it's a gunshot. So,
right. Well, in Asbury is a firecracker.
Yep.
Fireworks are gunshots. But I will say a lot of attorneys are douchebags, aren't they?
They really are.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I have a, you know, it's like, it's weird. Like, I want people to know they're not, but I encounter
but
a lot that are.
Right? Many of them are.
I don't know why. Like, I don't know about you, but so I went to New York Law School for my LLM, actually.
Okay, so you know I went to New York Law School.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. I loved that place, and I felt like there wasn't a whole high level of douchebaggery there. Like, I didn't think, because I thought people were more, you know, sort of the, like, most of the professors were, like, working in the field. Mm-hmm. So it was very practical in a lot of ways. But, you know, I've encountered, like, even it started at law school where people came real D-bags, like, at an early age.
Absolutely.
Yeah, like, you're entitled to something or some genius or
so
something.
So when I took night classes and then investigated child abuse, sex abuse during the day.
Right.
So it was fine to do that job and then go to night classes because everybody was like, they were cops or firemen,
right,
or whatever.
Right.
But when I left DIFAS and did law school full time and dealt with those kids during the day,
right,
I wanted to shoot myself.
Like, yeah.
I mean, it's like, how many can I, you know, investigate my belly button any longer during this class and talk about nothing,
right,
and keep me there longer who,
right,
had other things to do? Yeah, I found the full time law students trying to say the least,
yeah,
big, as opposed to the evening ones that we were all in there to do what we had to do and get out.
Right. That's interesting, because I've done both types of classes also. Like, I started in a particular semester, I was going at night with those types of people, and it's a different world.
It's, yeah, a different world.
That's pretty crazy. All right, Amy, thanks for coming in.
Thanks
I
for
really
having
appreciate
me.
It.
Sure.
Check out Amy online on Instagram at Amy Quinn. Check out the City of Asbury Park at City of Asbury Park NJ on Instagram. Asbury
Nothing
Podcast.
Nothing I say reflects the city's opinion
right.
in
disclaimer.
Any way, shape, or form.
Right.
This is just my opinion. You know, I have to read a lengthy disclaimer for Asbury Pod every time saying this is not the city's position and you cannot sue us.
Right. The City of Asbury Park does not believe that all attorneys are douchebags.
Right.
Thank
Correct.
You. That is that nutter, Amy Quinn.
Yes, exactly.
Sweet. All right, Amy, thanks very much. Once again, I'm Evan Balmer. Follow me on Instagram at Evan Balmer.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.